Welcome into the Friends with Fantasy Benefits football podcast. My name is Colin Weatherwax, filling in for Justin Mason this evening. And joining me on this football preview, which is going to be the week four preview, is Michael Alexander. Mike, how's it going?
Good, Colin. How you doing tonight?
Doing great. I see I'm playing you again this week. What's up with that, man?
Yeah, I couldn't get enough last week, I guess.
You just like to take the beating. So for those of you that don't know, we're actually doing a Dracula League, me and Mike. Mike offered to be the Dracula, so, and like he says, he's Dacula. He has to own Dak Prescott, which isn't really working out for him. But if he were to beat me, he could take my best player or one of the players that he likes off of my team. And last week he chose to play me because he really wanted Todd Gurley. And he fell victim to that. And so he looked at the schedule again this week, and oh, look, he's playing me again. So he gets another dose of Gurley, who's already got a touchdown tonight. So we'll see how long that lasts for Mike.
Yeah, you know, it's I think it was the right move, rolling the dice to get the number one player. Yeah. Any given Sunday, right?
Right. Yeah, I was sweating in my boots because I think it came down to Monday. I had like four guys. You had three guys.
It was a little scary.
I
think you maybe had like a slight favorite. It was probably like 55-45 your way, and that late Mike Evans touchdown sealed it up for you.
Yeah, I remember it. I remember I went straight to Twitter and then threw a GIF of Mike Evans up there and flexing his muscles, so... I made it last week. Let's see if I can do it again this week. So obviously we're recording this during the Thursday night matchup, so we won't preview that game, but we will go over the other games. There are two bye weeks, two teams that are on bye. That's the Washington Redskins and the Carolina Panthers. Other than that, we're going to go ahead and jump right into the matchups. So the first matchup on Sunday is going to be the Cincinnati Bengals at the Atlanta Falcons. Mike, what are you looking out for in this game?
A lot of scoring. Neither of these defenses are playing too well right now. You got, the Falcons at home in the dome. It's always a bit of a track meet. They lost some key parts to their defense, their middle linebacker, one of their safeties. I think they just lost a cornerback for this week, too.
They lost their other safety. Yeah, they lost those safeties.
Yeah, so they were already a team that gave up a ton of receiving to running backs. So, you know, we saw that with Christian McCaffrey. Alvin Kamara, and now Giovanni Bernard's on tap, who's obviously a plus pass catcher out of the backfield.
And then, if you were able to pick him up, you know, last week and you were able to start him, this is going to be a chalk play this week. I think he's going to be started in most leagues. What about Tyler Boyd? Are you on the bandwagon of Tyler Boyd and to that effect, Andy Dalton as well?
You have to be in this spot. Dalton's one of the really low-priced quarterbacks that is one of my favorites because he gets no love, but he always gives fairly solid production. You'll see weeks like last week where he had four interceptions. That's just Andy Dalton. But you know, Boyd has earned a role. He's got almost as many targets as AJ Green, given that AJ Green missed half the game last week and there's only been three games. But you know, that shows that Andy Reid's got some Andy Dalton's got some trust in him, and you know, Brandon LaFell was always like a usable fantasy commodity, even though it was kind of gross. So like Tyler Boyd stepped right into that role with no Brandon LaFell as the wide receiver two there.
Yeah, he kind of fell out of favor last year. I was high on him in the preseason, and he barely saw the field until the end of the year. But I do like what I've seen so far from him this year, and he's playing on the field 78% of the time, at least last week. So that's something to look out for in like a flex capacity or a wide receiver three. And as far as Andy Dalton, I mean, if you look at his schedule for the rest of the year is like so juicy. I mean, it's someone like whenever you came into the season, I know you were one of the guys that was like, no quarterback, I'll just pick
faceless QB.
Yeah, exactly. So I remember you drafted Andy Dalton at like the end of one of our drafts. And I was like, why would you do that? And you're like, they play the Colts in week one. Well, they play the Colts in week one, but listen to the rest of their schedule. So they got the Falcons, the Dolphins, the Steelers, who Fitzpatrick just lit up. They got the Chiefs, who has no secondary. They got the Saints on their schedule. They got the Browns. They got the AFC West as well. So there's a lot of good matchups coming up for Andy Dalton. I picked him up in a couple leagues. Probably going to be my starter most weeks unless I have one of the top, five guys. So I expect this one to be a shootout. What are you looking for on the Atlanta side?
I think Tevin Coleman is going to have a huge game. The Bengals got shredded by the Panthers last week, and the Panthers' offensive line is atrocious right now. They're missing basically every single starter other than I think their center, Ryan Khalil, but he's got like a neck issue that is kind of lingering for him from last season. So for them to do what they did on the ground versus the Bengals, the Falcons' offensive line is way better. Tevin Coleman is, you know, I think a better rusher than CMC. So, you know, I can see a lot of rushing going his way in this game, and he can catch the ball too out of the backfield.
Are you worried about Freeman? He did come back to practice today.
You know, it sounded like he's not really, like he practiced in a limited capacity. So I think they probably are a little bit careful with him here, given that they've got such a good option with Tevin Coleman. And even if he plays, I would guess he'd have a bit of a snap count.
Yeah, I would lower expectations for Coleman if he plays, but I would still start him as a flex, just because, like you said, I think they'll ease Freeman in. There's no reason to give him a full workload coming off the injury, and it's only week four. So what about this passing game? I know you're probably starting Matt Ryan, definitely starting Julio Jones. I know he's been questionable, but what about Calvin Ridley?
I mean, I never like to chase a huge performance like that, but you know, three touchdown game on the heels of another game with a touchdown. That's pretty actionable. I know he was a popular ad this week. If you added him for a big fab chunk, you should probably play him.
Yeah, he's probably going to be a flex option most weeks. And if you have the ability to play him in your flex, then that's probably the best place for him. To count on him to, like you said, do another three touchdown week, it's going to be a little disappointing for you, but I still see this offense shredding up and down the field. This is probably going to be a high-scoring game. So that being said, the Atlanta Falcons versus the Cincinnati Bengals, the Falcons are favored by 5.5. Who do you got, Mike?
I got the Falcons in this one.
Yeah, I think I'm on the same bandwagon. I don't know if they cover because, like I said, I think it's going to be a shootout, but it's going to be a fun game to watch. So moving on to the next game, we have Tampa Bay Bucks at Chicago Bears. What do you like on the Tampa Bay side, Mike?
I don't love this game for the Bucks, and you know, I've slowly come around to Fitzmagic, as most people have. You never want to count him out, but it's in Soldier Field. That's always kind of like a slow track. It's a grass field. It's never in great shape, given the really hot Chicago summer and then quick fall. So you know, on the Bucks side, you know, Mike Evans seems like he's pretty safe at this point. I like what I've seen with O.J. Howard. He's more than a tight end. He's a wide receiver in a tight end's body. But like D-Jax and Godwin, I think they're tough to roster, and I don't want any part of that backfield.
Yeah, I think I'm with you, and it's hard to say because I was a big Peyton Barber guy in the preseason, and he has not done anything, and he's been the only guy that's been active besides Jacquizz Rodgers. I mean, they haven't even played Ronald Jones. So
I could see Rodgers taking over that role at some point, like, you know, coming out of halftime if we see more of the same from Barber. They started to do it last game towards the end when they were, you know, in catch-up mode. I could see him just saying, screw it, you know, we like Rodgers, let's go with him.
Yeah, I could see that too. He's more of a all-around back, pass catcher and everything like that. Barber's more of a 3 or 4 yards or 2 to 3 yards this year. So it's been frustrating. I don't think you can trust any of the running backs at this point. But are you still starting Fitzpatrick this week or you're staying away?
It's funny. I've got Andy Dalton and Fitzpatrick in our Dynasty League, and I'm going Dalton.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I think I would do the same thing. It's going to be hard. It's hard not to start Fitzpatrick, but at Chicago with the way that defense has looked, I think I'm going to stay away from everybody in this game besides O.J. Howard and Mike Evans. So
Fitz was starting to look a little beat up towards the end of that Steelers game. You know, he's doing what he does where he pushes the envelope, he runs the ball, he takes hits. You know, he's starting to look like an old man a little bit.
Right, and then there's always the chance that Winston gets put in there if he throws an interception, which is so frustrating with how he's looked so far.
Yeah.
So moving over to Chicago, Jordan Howard, I mean, is he going to be an RB1 for the rest of the year?
Rest of the season, I think he gets there. This offense just hasn't quite got you know, the wind in its sails yet. I think this is a good get-right spot. Maybe not so much for Jordan Howard, but the passing offense here. The Bucks have the worst secondary in the NFL. Lots of rookies. The veterans they have are not very good players. So, you know, Jordan Howard could, you know, hitch his wagon to a good offensive performance and get in for a touchdown or two.
Yeah, see, I love my pick of him. You know, he was going later than all the other RB1s, so he's getting the volume. Tariq Cohen has his role, but it's not affecting Jordan Howard, so I really like, you know, what I've seen from him so far. But like you said, it kind of comes down to the passing game, and Mitch Trubisky is up and down. So I think this might be a get-right game. This might be a week to start Allen Robinson.
I love Rob this week.
Yeah, they lost Anthony Miller. I don't remember if they put him on IR yet, but I know he's dealing with a shoulder injury. So he's kind of the only guy out there. What about Trey Burton? Do you think this is the week for Trey Burton finally?
The Bucks are, like, oddly tough against tight ends. It's one of the positions they can actually cover. But Burton's like a tight end plus, so he could do a little more than your standard guy. I think you're still rolling him out there if he's your tight end, unless you have a really good backup.
Yeah, I know there's a lot of people out there waiting for the Trey Burton game, so this one might just be it. Definitely start the Chicago Bears defense. Khalil Mack, he's a monster. So I'm starting him, and they did awesome last year at home. So add Mack to that, and they'll be even better. So for this game, we have Tampa Bay at Chicago, and the Bears are favored by 3. Who you got, Mike?
I think I'm going to take the Bears here. I just see that defense having their way with Tampa Bay's O-line, and you know, Fitz could have a little bit of a meltdown.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think I'm going to do the same. It hurts me every time I see Khalil Mack in the Bears uniform, but I can't deny the talent. I can't deny, you know, what they've shown so far. So I'll take the Bears in this one as well. So moving on, the next one, we have Detroit Lions at the Dallas Cowboys. This Detroit Lions offense is starting to come around a little bit from last week. What do you think about it?
Like, they're such they always play up or down to their competition. You know, they get wiped by the Jets in week one, who have not looked good since. And then they go out and handle, you know, a compromised Patriots squad, but they looked way better than the other side. This one's weird because it's the Lions are kind of an up-paced team, and Dallas is a really slow-paced team. So it's going to come down to, I guess, who can dictate their will more. The Cowboys missing Sean Lee on the defensive side of the ball, I think, is huge for their defense. You know, he's the quarterback of the defense. They've been really bad without him in the past couple seasons. So I'm leaning Lions in this one and their offensive weapons.
Yeah, I am too. One of the surprising things that I've seen this week is Golden Tate being ranked as the top receiver out of those three in Detroit. Do you see it the same this week? Or?
Yeah, I actually do. Dallas, their corners aren't great, but you know, they kind of like to play a little bit of a vanilla defense, keep things safe and in front of them. So Tate out of the slot should really eat that up. And we might even get a good game from Theo Riddick. It's going to depend on game flow. You know, typically when Dallas is missing Sean Lee, tight ends can, you know, piece them up. Detroit doesn't really involve the tight ends that much. So I think Theo Riddick receiving is going to be the guy who could benefit from that the most.
So you're not believing in Kerryon Johnson this week?
I'm believing in him this week. I think if they get a lead and he gets, you know, if they've got 30 some carries to piece up again, he could have a good game. He can also catch the ball. So if it is a competitive game and he's in there, and they still throw to him, that's a plus. And if they get ahead and they're just icing the clock, it's Johnson and Blunt. And, you know, Johnson showed he's a much more capable runner than Blunt.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure they're saying he's the next Barry Sanders because he's the next one to run for 100 yards since Barry Sanders. So I'm big on this offense this week. I think this is a get-right game for Marvin Jones and Golden Tate. Kenny Golladay is going to be involved like we've seen the first 3 weeks. And then I think Kerryon Johnson is going to take over this role. I think Riddick, like you said, is going to have his, you know, few in-between plays here and there, screens or whatever. But it's basically going to be the Johnson show whenever they're controlling the game. And I think they do that handily here against Dallas. So for the Dallas side, is there anybody that you're considering besides Zeke?
I like Zeke a lot. You know, he's the focal point of their offense.
He is their offense. That's
yeah,
it.
it's there's not much you can touch over there. Like I think Jeff Swaim was their leading receiver last week. Like their backup tight end or their backup caliber tight end is their leading receiver. That's a bad sign.
Right, and Dak hasn't thrown for over 200 yards in I think since last year. So I think for me and you, it's probably just Zeke on this offense, right?
Yep, I think that the Lions' defense is actually a sneaky play because Dallas can't really go for too many points, and they get a couple turnovers, it turns into a nice low-priced option.
Yeah, I agree with you there, and this is a weird start to the podcast. Usually, me and Justin already have a few bets because he likes to disagree with me a lot more than you have, so it's a little strange for me on this side of the mic. But
I forgot you told me I'm playing with Justin's account, so
yes,
I can let the bets fly freely.
So did you say you want LeGarrette Blount as the highest scorer in the Detroit Lions backfield? That sounds like a bet that Justin would make, so I think I'll go ahead and put that one down for us.
How about we split up the receivers for Detroit? Who do you think is the lead receiver?
Well, me and Justin already have a season long bet. He did Kenny Galladay, I did Marvin Jones, so that's not looking too good. But you know what? I'll play again with you. I'll take Marvin Jones. I think this is a get right game for him.
All right, I'll take Golden Tate.
Assuming
it's PPR.
Yeah, that's fine. We'll do it. No problem. I'll go ahead and have him add that to our bets here. And like I said, it's if you win, then we'll give you the credit. But if you lose, then we'll give Justin the loss. So that's just how that'll work. So for this game, Detroit at Dallas. Dallas is actually favored by 3, which is crazy to me.
Yeah. I mean, they are better at home, but it's a good environment for Detroit, who's usually not as good on the road. But Dallas has a nice indoor stadium there.
Yeah, I'm going Lions, and they're definitely going to cover that for sure. So, all right, moving on to the surprising Buffalo Bills playing at Lambeau. So I think their Twitter guy finally figured out where Minnesota was. I think it wasn't too hard whenever they go in their house and just completely slaughter them last week. But
yeah.
I think it's still going to be the same thing with this Buffalo Bills offense. I don't want to start anybody.
I think it could be a bounce back week for Shady McCoy.
Yeah, but you love Shady McCoy. You're on him all preseason.
That's a little bit of
how's that worked out for you?
It has not worked out very well. But it's been for health reasons and ineffectiveness rather than his legal troubles.
Right, that's true.
But with Josh Allen at quarterback, it's a bit more of an NFL offense. He's at least got some talent. I don't think the Green Bay defense is any good. They lost a piece in the middle there last week, and their corners are just no good for the second consecutive season. So I don't think that this is going to be, 2 weeks ago you would have taken the Packers like at any number. I kind of think the Bills keep this competitive, and Rodgers with his knee and everything, he's looked fine throwing the ball, but he's not moving around, he's not scrambling, and the Bills' defense is slightly underrated.
Yeah, they showed that last week. So if you're thinking about starting McCoy, I say that he's probably not a top 24 running back this week. Do you want to take that bet?
Oh, yeah, I would take that.
All right, let's do that one, too. I'm sure Justin will appreciate that.
14.
Oh, yeah, no, there's no way. No way. He hasn't been, 30th? All season, so yeah, you're
we're
really
only 3 weeks in.
Optimistic, very optimistic. You want to make sure that you get something out of your shares of him. I understand that.
Got to send some positive vibes out there.
Yeah. So last week, me and Justin actually talked about the fact that Aaron Rodgers is gimpy. He doesn't have that mobility anymore. I actually asked Justin if he would be selling Aaron Rodgers. So, he's going to give you just Aaron Rodgers type plays, but the numbers aren't going to be there, I don't think. So I'm a little leery on starting him. I know he's at home. I know it's against the Bills, but like I said last week, I think you have to lower expectations with this injury, and he's not a must start anymore.
No, I've been ranking him really low in my weekly rankings, and he's been like the QB19, the QB12, not what we're used to seeing from Rodgers. And then, you know, as the season wears on, his offensive line always gets worse. They always get injuries with those two tackles, Bulaga and
yeah, I think Bulaga's already ruled out, actually. Let me pull that up real quick.
Yeah, I know he was dinged. So it's just like, it's the same thing, and he's running for his life half the time. Now he's got, you know, one good leg, so, you know, if I could get decent return on him, I would definitely take it.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a little difficult to do that, but for this offense,
love Rodgers.
Yeah, I know.
He'll give you like 90 cents on the dollar right now, which I would take.
If you can get that, I would definitely sell him for that as well. So with this offense, this running back situation, do you want to start Aaron Jones this week? Do you want to keep riding with Jamal Williams? What do you want to do with these running backs?
So I think the problem with Jamal Williams right now is that they're running most of their plays out of the shotgun. Mm-hmm. He's just not a shotgun type back. He's a plotter. You know, he needs to get going north-south. That suits Aaron Jones a lot better as an explosive back. So if I had to pick one of them, I would probably pick Jones, even though he's going to get the downside of the share of running back snaps and touches. But the Bills have traditionally been a bad run defense through the last, 14 months. I would love to target this if I knew one guy was going to get, 15-plus touches, but it's just hard. You know, Williams had, six last week. Jones had a couple and had two nice runs, but that was it. Yeah, Montgomery gets mixed in there. It's just not usable at this point.
Yeah, with Jones, I was high on him in the preseason. I think Jamal Williams is just a guy. He might be in there more on third down just because of his pass blocking ability. But with Aaron Jones, I don't mind throwing him in my flex because I want to be a week early instead of a week late. And I think that this might be a week where the Packers say, okay, this guy is explosive. We got to get him in the ball. We got to get him the ball. Even the Packers offensive coordinator came out today and said, I was very impressed with his explosiveness. So.
And it's still possible that, the Bills are just terrible and they had one good week and the Packers just smash them. So, you know, there could be 30-some rushes to split between the two guys and they both could have a decent day. Jones would have the more explosive output.
Yeah, yeah.
It'd be a lot like Kerryon Johnson and LeGarrette Blount last week.
Right, definitely. And I think I'm willing to roll out Jones. I don't think I'm going to roll out Williams this week, but I might take a flyer on Jones. And then the wide receivers, I think you have to keep running out Adams. He's going to be consistent, but it's not going to be what we hoped it would be. It's not going to be like the 10 for 100 and possibly a touchdown. It's going to be a little bit more touchdown dependent, I feel, until Aaron Rodgers gets that mobility back. So I think you start him and maybe Allison is like wide receiver 4 flex play. Because he's been getting a lot more incorporation in that offense. So
the only thing I like in Adams' favor this week is he's going to be opposite from Tre'Davious White, the Bills' good corner.
Mm-hmm. He shut down Diggs last week. Yeah.
Yeah. So that could lead to Allison kind of getting erased a lot of plays. Maybe Cobb benefits from that, but also Adams I think would benefit.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. So Vegas is a little bit scared of the Bills now, for right reasons. They only have the Packers as a 9.5-point favorite. So
yeah,
what are you doing with this game? Who are you picking?
It's such a big number. Like that, I bet the Bills last week at that number. Was it 14?
Because it was 16.5 last week.
16.5.
Yeah.
Like, it's just such a hard number for any team to do. Like, that was – even the Patriots in their heyday, would have trouble always covering that big double-digit spread. So I liked it at 10 at the beginning of the week, 9.5 now. I think I'd still go Bills just on the fact that I think they stay in it a little more than people are expecting.
I think this is the Packers' week. I think they're going to cover this week, but – you got to watch out for these Bills. If you're still in Survivor, which I'm sure a lot of people are not, there's probably like a couple people on ESPN that are only in the Survivors. So if you're still in that, I think you're going
to
stay away from this game. But so moving on to the next game, this is one that I think is going to be surprisingly low scoring, and it's Philadelphia at the Tennessee Titans. So I like what I saw from Wentz last week. They kind of just threw him out there, and they didn't change their offense. I mean, they went right back to where he was last year whenever he was, running all over the place and throwing the ball 30, 40 times. So what are you expecting out of this offense this week?
I think it's a similar game to what you saw last week versus the Colts. The Titans are kind of a similar team. You know, if the Eagles, they were so good in the hurry up to start the game, and then they got away from it. They were ahead, so I guess they didn't feel the need to press it, but I think they should have kept the gas down. I like Wentz this week. The running backs are too hard to touch with Ajayi coming back, possibly, but he has, I think they said today, a back fracture.
Yeah, fractured back that he's going to play through. Yeah, that muddies the water for me. And yeah. I'll tell the listeners that Mike is a Philadelphia Eagles fan, so take everything he says about this game with a grain of salt. But
I'm very realistic about my but yeah, you know, so that's just kind of like they already have a rotation where it's like 40-30-20. Like, you know, so that probably continues. And the Titans aren't a bad run defense either. So if Jeffrey goes, I like him. You know, even coming off of a fairly limited warm up to the season, coming off of he wasn't on the pup, but coming out of his injury. But Zach Ertz, he's really the mainstay in this offense. He's going to see the targets. He's who Wentz, you know, looks for when he's in trouble.
Yeah, and then I think one of the guys that fell off big time last week that we thought would kind of get an uptick was Nelson Agholor. So give me your expectations if Jeffrey plays and if Jeffrey does not play for Nelson Agholor.
It's interesting because when Foles was in last year, Agholor had a much better line every week statistically. And, you know, now we see Wentz come back and he kind of goes away. I think he still had five targets or something, but... with Jeffrey in there, I think Agholor is a fairly pedestrian play. You know, something like three or four catches with limited yardage. Even if Jeffrey is out, you know, they brought Jordan Matthews back last week, who played about a third of the snaps. He's going to, you know, grow that role a little bit. He plays the slot as well. So Agholor could lose snaps there. You know, with Jeffrey out, I would still not see more than like 5 to 6 catches. And, you know, out of the slot, it's always hard to score a touchdown.
Yeah, I think you got to put him on your bench until we see something with Wentz and Agholor. But like Justin said on last week's podcast, he Agholor actually had most of his success last year, of course, with Jeffrey on the field because Jeffrey was healthy most of the year. So keep that in mind. It's going to take Wentz a little bit of time to get back in the swing of things. But I think
none of these guys have practiced together.
Yeah, so. I think you got to put them on your bench until we see something from them too. So moving over to Tennessee, me and Justin have a running bet every week. I take Deion Lewis and he takes Derrick Henry, and I don't think it's helping the people out very much. And that's what I keep trying to preach to him, but he just keeps seeing that he's winning by like 5-4 or something like that, and he just keeps throwing that in my face. But it's not helping anyone out because this timeshare just sucks for all of us fantasy owners. What do you think about this Titans backfield?
So I think Henry has gotten like 16 carries a few straight weeks, so the usage is encouraging, but Philly's run defense is just death to running backs. I would sit either one of them this week. Yeah, Lewis maybe has a little more upside. He's probably a little more involved with third downs and passing work.
Yeah, I mean, it's upsetting. I kind of came in this year avoiding the whole situation, and I've kind of, you know, soured on Henry and kind of went towards Deion Lewis a little bit, as you can tell via my bets. I'm going to go ahead and write down the Derrick Henry versus Deion Lewis bet. I know Justin would want to make it, so I'm just going to go ahead and throw that in there. But I'm wanting to stay away from the running backs in this game, like you said. If I have to start one, I'm starting Deion Lewis in my flex. But as a running back, it's probably no one. So moving on to the wide receivers, Mariota should play this week. Rishard Matthews just threw a temper tantrum and isn't coming back to the team. So you got,
he got released today.
Yeah, you got Corey Davis, you got Taywan Taylor, you got Tajay Sharp. You know, you got all these guys. Are you starting anybody besides Corey Davis?
I think Corey Davis is a nice start. He's seen the volume. You know, he just hasn't had a quarterback who can really throw a football yet. Hopefully that changes this week. Mariota's, you know, said he's good to go for the first time. I don't think he's got complete, you know, strength in his hand yet where he would like to be, but Every other game, it's been game time decision, and he hasn't started. So maybe he can actually get some catchable targets. He gets Jalen Mills, who's beatable. He has his moments, Mills, but he's not the best corner going.
Yeah, I think for the Titans, you can only start Davis this week.
Yeah, I've got a little bit of interest in Taywan Taylor. Like, if I knew he was going to get, consistent targets, I think he's in a really good talent. I was high on him coming into the season for like a dynasty type ranking. Getting Rishard Matthews out of the way is huge for him.
Yeah, I think in a dynasty setting, you're more interested in him, but in your standard league, you can keep an eye on him, but probably not pick him up for sure. All right, so for this game, we have the Eagles at the Tennessee Titans, and the Eagles are 4-point favorites. Who do you got?
I mean, I guess I have to take the Eagles, right?
Yeah, I think you do. like I said, I think this is going to be a bloodbath. I think the Eagles win, but the Titans will cover. I think it's going to be close.
That's how I have it in my pools, actually.
Yeah. So moving on to the next game, we got Houston at Indy. Last week, I was hoping it was going to be the Deshaun Watson breakout week. He kind of came on late, with that last-second touchdown that was meaningless. But hey, it helped. It helped out fantasy. Yeah, it helped out fantasy numbers. So, what do you think about this Houston offense? What are you looking for as far as Nuke? Is he going to finally get on track? You got Will Fuller. You got Lamar Miller. You got Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, I like this to be a shootout, at least a little bit of a higher scoring affair. I think the over-under of 47 kind of reflects that. Getting into the dome there in Indy, that's a fast track. Fuller and Hopkins are really the only options outside of Watson to use. But, like, Fuller scored a touchdown every week he's played. That's not by accident.
Mm-hmm.
With the ball in his hands, he's electric. He's got the deep threat, obviously, with his speed. And that should loosen things up for Hopkins going forward.
Yeah, I don't think you can bench Fuller. Not until this crazy run that him and Watson are on, starts to die down a little bit. I don't think you can bench him. You have to throw him in there as your third wide receiver or your flex. You got to ride it out with Nuke. And I think this is a get-right game for Watson. Like I said last week, I thought they were going to tear up the Giants secondary, but I think this is the secondary they can pick on this week.
Yeah, and like on the other side too, the Colts have had some pretty tough matchups, like games that have been, very competitive, and they're facing a defense here that I don't think is going to be very competitive. The Texans have some names, but on the whole, they're just a bad defense. They should give points up to the other side, and the Texans, I think, are the number one team in the no huddle and hurry up offense. So, that's always good to see. I think that continues and hopefully draws Indy into a shootout.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to start Luck this week. Maybe as like a contrarian play or someone that's not being that owned in DFS, because I know you're more the DFS guy. I'm more the season-long guy. But I think I'm definitely staying away from this running back game. Unless I'm in a PPR setting, I'm probably picking up Hines, who I did not listen to you. I did not listen to you in the preseason. I didn't think you'd have that big of a role, but he's been very, very involved.
He was out there a lot last week.
Yeah.
I mean, the only thing that would hurt him is if Mac, starts, he kind of can fill the passing role as well.
Right. So I think it's T.Y., Luck if you have to, and then as a PPR or flex, deeper flex type guy, Hines. So for this game,
I actually like Ebron a lot this week. He let a lot of people down last week. Mm-hmm. He was a very popular DFS option. He dropped a touchdown. It was kind of knocked out of his hands.
Yep.
He had 11 targets. Doyle doesn't look like he's going to play. I like him a lot this week to really kind of like burn everyone 2 weeks in a row because they used him and then did.
Right, yeah, I can see that for sure. That sounds like Eric Ebron's career.
Yep.
I mean, it just really does. So we got Houston at Indy. Indy is a 1-point favorite in this game. Who you got?
I think I got to take Indy here. I think Houston's just like they're going to cause a shootout, but they're just going to figure out a way to lose the game.
I think I'm going to go with Texans. I think this is the week. I said it last week, but I'm going to ride with it one more week and see if they can pull out a victory here. So moving on to the AFC East battle, uh, the the 3-0 Miami Dolphins face the 1-2 New England Patriots. These Dolphins, I mean, what are you doing with Drake? Are you starting Tannehill? The wide receivers there, they're all getting targets. They're all getting involved. This is very frustrating for a fantasy team.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. The Dolphins really haven't played anyone yet. They're off to a great start.
Wow. Wow. Thanks, Mike. I appreciate that. I saw your tweet yesterday about how they won a game with 39 offensive plays against the Raiders, yep. And that just made me throw up even more. So thank you for that. I appreciate it.
That's nuts. Like, how many quarterbacks have 39 attempts in a given week? Right? They ran 39 total plays.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's – both teams kind of want to slow it down here. Like, the Patriots always mess with pace, and they tend to want to grind a game, especially with the offensive options they have at the moment. That's not a game you want to play with Bill Belichick. and, you know, Tannehill's like, he's got like a 10-something YPA. He's been ridiculously efficient, and that's a calling card of the Gase offense, but it's just really hard to have anything above like 9 as a YPA over a longer sample. So I think they come back to earth a little bit. I don't like Drake. I faded him hard this year. I think that was the right call. We've seen that so far. The only guy I've got a little bit of interest in is Kenny Stills on the Dolphins side. He shredded them last year. And I believe it was in Foxborough, if I remember correctly. So he's going to get another matchup with Stephon Gilmore. See if that happens again. If he can score another long touchdown. He had 2 that game, but
yeah, I think I'm with you on Tannehill. There's a lot of people that are streaming him, thinking he's going to throw for a lot of yards against this Patriots defense. But I think I'm with you. I think it's probably somewhere you want to avoid. I mean, it's Ryan Tannehill. There's really not much else that you can say. And the Patriots are going to be pissed. They just lost to Belichick's, understudy, and they need to get right games. So I think for Miami, I guess Stills, but the problem is how much their other receivers are involved. I mean, they have Devontae Parker, who they haven't even shown out because of his injury. They have Albert Wilson. They got Jerian Grant, who we saw last week score 2 touchdowns. So I think Kenny Stills is the one guy that I want, but I don't want to start him. I just want him on my bench, and if I have to, I have to. So moving over to New England, Sony Michel, he's getting the chance that everyone's been clamoring for. So he's going to be a popular play in DFS this week. Are you rolling him out there no matter what?
I'm starting him in a couple season-long leagues because I don't really have a better option. You got to think the opportunity in a Patriots offense will eventually translate to good things. But, he hasn't looked great. You could blame that on missing time in the preseason, not knowing the playbook quite yet, as well as you should, not being on the same page with Brady in a couple, passing routes. I was really encouraged going into last week, and then he let me down. So, I'm going to give him one more chance here. I am a little bit concerned with Ken John Barner because people think Barner is a pass catcher because he's like a fast, shifty guy. He's not a very good pass catcher, so he kind of does the same thing as Michelle. He's a between the 20s runner, so that could take away from him if they decide to give Barner some carries.
Yeah, I think I'm staying away from him in DFS this week just because he's going to be so highly owned. Like, everyone is going to own
him. There's better options.
Yeah, I think so as well. I mean, the price point is nice, but it's not like he's super expensive. But I think I'm going to stay away just to kind of get away from the crowd. But that being said, I think that James White might be the better play in like a PPR setting. Because if you put Michelle and White in the backfield at the same time, which New England will probably do a few times, Brady's going to look for White. I mean, he loves White. He loves, he's loved him for the past couple of years. We saw what he did in the Super Bowl. So they're definitely looking for him over Michelle until Michelle kind of gains that trust of Brady. So I think you still got to roll out Chris Hogan as like a flex. He's been very disappointing.
Hogan's bounce back here.
He's been very disappointing so far this season, but I think it's going to come soon rather than later, and there's really nobody else there. This is the last week before Edelman comes back, so this might be the week for him. And, of course, Gronk. You're starting Gronk and Brady. So So for this game, we got the Dolphins at New England. New England is 7-point favorites. I'm sure you take New England.
Yeah, I think Vegas told you what they think of the Dolphins 3-0 start.
Yeah.
with a -7 line.
Right.
And I don't think the Dolphins have won going to Foxborough in a pretty long time, and the Patriots haven't lost back-to-back games in a very long time.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with the Patriots as well. I think it's pretty chalk play. So if you're in Survivor, this might be the week. So moving on to the next game, we got the New York Jets at Jacksonville. For New York, this running back situation, what are you doing with the running back situation?
Really hard to tell. If they get behind, I like Bilal Powell a little bit better, given that he's a better pass catcher than Crowell. I think the Jags probably are better than they showed last week. It was just a weird divisional kind of game on the road, and that they score some points for a change. So I would probably take Powell between the two.
Yeah, I think I want to avoid it.
That's probably the smart
Yeah, thing. I really don't care. It's frustrating. We got Crowell, who scored twice. I believe it was against Detroit. And, Powell has been incorporated in the offense, but it's just not enough to feel good about it. So one thing that I am looking for in this game is the wide receivers. I know they're going up against Jacksonville. That's one of the best secondaries in the league. But I think that Robbie Anderson is going to have a better year than Quincy Enunwa when it's all said and done. And I think sooner or later, he's probably going to show out.
I mean, he's got the skills. He just needs Darnold to push the ball. And outside of a couple times that first game, we haven't seen that much.
Yeah, I don't know if this is the week for it, but I'm just telling people to keep an eye out for Anderson. Don't drop him yet. I think the good times are coming. They do play the Dolphins. They play the Dolphins in their division. They got the Patriots, of course, but that division isn't too scary outside of the Patriots. So just keep an eye out for him. I think Darnold's going to improve the rest of the year as well. So moving over to Jacksonville.
You want to do Enunwa versus Robbie Anderson?
I think I'm going to do it for a rest of season bet. We have a few of those. So are you going to take that for rest of season?
Yeah, I would take that rest of season.
All right, cool.
Yeah, protect it for like
injuries.
Yeah,
that's the only protection you'll get. And this is going to be another one of those Justin bets whenever he loses. So that's perfectly fine with me. Moving over to Jacksonville side, Blake Bortles, top QB1 for you this week?
I was heavy on Bortles last week in DFS, so I took a bit of a bath. But that's riding the Bortles train,
right?
You got to be ready for it. The Jets have a stingy defense, so I don't love too much on the Jacksonville side. Maybe Keelan Cole, I think he's the best receiver they have. We really need Moncrief to go down for an extended period, so like Cole and Westbrook.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
But like Moncrief just siphons targets, and he's got that like 4-for-48 line, mm-hmm. and sometimes a touchdown.
Very frustrating. I mean, he got 10 targets the 2 games ago, and me and Justin were just like, come on, just give those to Westbrook and Cole, and we'll be good. So Fournette, he's supposed to play. If Yeldon does not play, are you firing him up?
I think if you have Fournette anywhere, you have to use him. He's just such an integral part of that offense, and he's really shown a knack for scoring touchdowns. So if they do well, Fournette should do well as well.
He's also shown a knack for these soft tissue injuries that last a lot longer than people think.
Yeah.
So the one thing I'm going to look out for on Sunday is if Yeldon's going to be active. If Yeldon's active, I think it's going to be a pretty much even split unless they just start blowing the doors off this game. And if he's not active, I'm firing him up because I think that they'll give him the ball 20 times and say, look, if your hamstring hurts, you're going to go back out there if it's a close game. So I think you're going to fire up Fournette. I agree with you about Cole this week. And Bortles is kind of a borderline – probably, top 14, 15 quarterback this week. So Jacksonville is playing against the Jets in Jacksonville. The Jacksonville Jaguars are 7.5-point favorites. Are you taking those points?
I am, and it kind of hurts because it's a big number.
Yeah.
But I, th- think Vegas is saying, like, it's a good defense. They're back at home. They should stomp a team that's been not good the last 2 weeks in the Jets. So I'll take the Jags.
Yeah, I think I'm going to take the Jags too. So do we have to talk about this next game? I think we can just skip over. There's no one that's in fantasy, really. Cleveland Browns at the Oakland Raiders. Let's start on the Cleveland side of the ball. It's Mayfield time.
Yeah.
So what does that do for this offense for this week and moving forward?
I mean, you saw last week that it gave them a spark. Guys that were dropping balls were suddenly catching them. you just got some general effort increase. He does have an aura to him that is kind of carnival like. He's obviously a fun guy. He plays with emotion. That could translate. I don't love that he's making his first official start on the road here in Oakland. That's a nasty place to go play. In DFS, let me put it this way. Like, so many Browns are going to be chalky. Mayfield, Landry, Callaway, Njoku. I'm kind of staying away from them. The only guy that I've got very much interest in is Callaway. He was on my radar preseason, but I really didn't dig into him very much. Watching him in the last 2 weeks, man, he is super fast. He's got one of those rare, quick twitch kind of skill sets that you just can't get a handle on him. And I think Mayfield has got the chops to hit him deep where Tyrod is, just a scramble and scramble and scramble and throw it away kind of quarterback, despite not turning the ball over much.
All right. One guy I'm surprised you didn't mention was Carlos Hyde, the guy coming off the 2 touchdowns last week. Are you not interested in him this week?
He's so inconsistent. I mean, they gave Chubb a goal line carry. Sooner or later, they got to realize Duke Johnson, is a playmaker, and they have to involve him. If you have him, you're using him. But like in DFS or any kind of setting like that, I'm not going out of my way to go after Hyde.
See, I'm ready to fire him up this week. I think that he's going to, kind of build off that last game that he had. I agree with you that Duke Johnson should be more involved, but it's huge action. What are you going to do? Yeah. So,
that's why I'm picking the Raiders here. Like they're going to be in the game.
Yep.
And 2.5 is kind of a tough line. Like I'd rather that be 1.5, but when it comes down to it, Hugh's going to screw it up.
Yeah, he probably will. I think I'm with you on the passing game, though, because the Oakland Raiders defense is, besides those gadget plays last week, they held Miami in check. They held Drake to like 4 yards on 6 touches. They have looked, I watch all the games. I watch play and play out for the Raiders. So I've gotten to see firsthand what a actual defensive coordinator in Paul Gunther can do for this defense. And
Gunther's a good coordinator.
And he's done a lot with Rashad Melvin, with Garyon Conley, with the defensive line as far as run blocking. We won't get into the pass rush, but
I saw that clip. Was it last week where Bruce Irvin kind of waves his arms around?
Yeah, like I said, I wanted to skip this game, Mike. I wanted to skip it, and you just keep bringing up all the bad parts of it. No. So I think I'm with you. I think I'm going to stay away from the chalk on this game. I'm not going to fire up many Cleveland Browns in DFS, but I think I'm going to roll out Hyde and Landry if you have them in season long. So moving over to Oakland, Derek Carr, he's been efficient. He's not a guy that you're going to start in fantasy, but if he does good, then that usually means good things for Marshawn Lynch, for Amari Cooper, for Jared Cook, for Jordy Nelson, who we saw last week. But the problem is, Jared Cook week 1, Amari Cooper week 2, Jordy Nelson week 3. So are you going to play the pattern? Are you going to go out of your way and just go for Jared Cook everywhere? What are you doing with this pass offense?
The Browns on the road tend to struggle versus tight ends. So I like Jared Cook a good bit, especially given some of the success that that Cleveland has had in their secondary versus some pretty decent receivers. I'd probably go Cook, Nelson, Cooper, but like Cooper's so hard when people like if you get a start sit question involving Cooper, I'm just like flip a coin.
Yep, that's how it's been basically his whole career.
He's gonna smash or disappear. Yep. It's
and whichever one you pick, it's gonna be wrong every time. So yeah, this offense is just so frustrating. Like I said, Derek Carr is very efficient. He gets the ball down the field, but they just can't finish. And whenever they do finish, it's going to go to Jordy Nelson last week, who most people did not start. It's going to go to Amari Cooper in week two, where a lot of people were benching him because he didn't show up in week one. And then, of course, Jared Cook in week one, where everyone was like, what the hell is this? So I think the only safe guy on this offense that I'm starting in season long is going to be Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah, to be fair, they've played some pretty tough matches from the secondary standpoint.
We don't need your pity, Mike. We don't need it.
I mean, LA and Denver, like, that's probably two of the top three, you know, secondaries. So my best ball shares were really happy to see Jordy finally get going. So I have Jordy in like 85% of my best
balls. Yeah, I think I convinced you on that, so I apologize. But at least last week he showed you a little bit. So if you need points from a Raiders skill position player in the fourth quarter, just completely forget about it. It's not going to happen. Cleveland at Oakland. You said you're taking Oakland in this game at -2.5.
Yeah, I think I'm going to take them. That's one of those, like I said, sometimes you just got to think, okay, when this comes down to who's going to win the game in the fourth quarter, think about the coaches and you know, their process and the mistakes that they could make. And Hugh is just going to make the most critical mistakes.
You got me believing a little bit. I think I'll take Oakland. I've taken them a couple times, probably in the bets with Justin, which have turned into sucker bets. So that's a little upsetting. But from a very interesting game, we're going to move over to Seattle at Arizona, which isn't as interesting, but still has a few interesting factors, like Doug Baldwin coming back to practice a little bit earlier than people thought. So
I was happy to see that.
Yeah, I mean, you're happy to see it, but this Seattle offense just has not looked very good. And maybe that's a credit to him not being out there, but I think it's more of the offensive line not getting going. It's going to be a long season. It's going to be a long season in Seattle. And if you have Russell Wilson, he's probably a guy like Aaron Rodgers you're probably selling for name value if you can.
Yeah, you know, Schottenheimer, no idea why he got another chance here with an NFL team as a coordinator. I think this is probably the last season for that regime. They need to change while they can still bank on Wilson to be productive. But Wilson does tend to tear the cards up. I would like to get Doug Baldwin in the lineup out of the slot versus Buda Baker. He's given up some chunk plays. I like Tyler Lockett a little bit too, especially if he can move back outside, given Baldwin in the slot. That's not a bad little stack if those guys are all out on the field together.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that. I want to see 1 week from Doug Baldwin just because he had the pre-injury or the knee injury in the preseason that held him out the whole time, and then he gets injured in week one, and it's the other knee. So yeah, he's coming back. He already said in the preseason he's probably not going to be 100% all year, and now his other knee got hurt. I want to see Doug Baldwin succeed. I've had him in most of my leagues the past couple of years. I heavily invested in him in best ball this year just because I thought he was going too late. So I want to see him succeed. Are you comfortable starting Chris Carson this week? He of less than 3 yards per carry, Chris Carson.
He had a huge share of the carries last week. You know, that's only 1 week, but it was trending in that direction. You know, Rashad Penny, just for whatever reason, isn't ready to be an NFL running back yet. Overweight, injured, you know, came from a small school. So, you know, there's that too. The Cardinals have been gashed by running backs. They went from like a top three run defense to a bottom three run defense with the change in defensive scheme, going from the 3-4 to the 4-3. So, I would fire Carson up if you have him.
All right, so moving back to the last game we covered, I'll take Carlos Hyde. Will you take Carson?
I'd take that straight.
All right, let's do that one. Okay, and then the interesting part on Arizona. So I play in a few 10-team leagues, and I saw Larry Fitzgerald on a couple waiver wires this week. Can you believe it? I don't think it's gotten that bad, because if you think about it, he has not had the best quarterbacks his whole career. He had Kurt Warner, and since then he had Carson Palmer, and whenever Carson Palmer was out there, he got a fair share, but most of the time it was Drew Stanton. Who else? Matt Barkley. I mean, he's played with backup quarterbacks the second half of his career, and he just always shows up. So with Josh Rosen being inserted in the lineup, how does that make you feel about David Johnson and about Larry Fitzgerald this week?
I think it's a slight uptick for both, slightly more for Fitzgerald, given that he's their really only option in the receiving game. Christian Kirk's shown a little bit, and he's a nice player, but he's only like 5'9". He's not going to be a game-breaking player. Mm. And just as a general note, people, add us on Twitter, dude. I'm always answering questions. Colin's on there, too. Like, I've answered questions this week about people wanting to drop, like, A-Rob, Demaryius Thomas. Like, we're 3 weeks into the season. Yep. Just, like, have a little patience. You don't drop your fourth or fifth round pick.
Yeah, have people talk you off the ledge. I've been in that spot where you think the next guy coming up, you want to get him, but sacrificing a guy like Larry Fitzgerald, I don't think that's going to work. And going back to your Christian Kirk comment, I don't think Justin, if he listens to this podcast, I don't think he'll let you back on, because me and him, we're both Christian Kirk believers. But I think it's going
to
take a while.
I like him. He's a slot receiver, and Larry Fitzgerald already like occupies that role a little bit. So
yeah, and I feel so bad for Larry Fitzgerald. He got 2 receptions for 9 yards last week. That's the first time since I think week 17 of 2014 he didn't have 3 catches, and the first time in his career he had less than 10 receiving yards. So it's upsetting because he's a future Hall of Famer and he deserves to get, you know, at least 3 catches. I mean, come on, man.
Yeah, and you know it's now we're gonna find out was it Bradford or was it Mike McCoy, because I kind of lean towards Bradford, but
I lean towards the offensive line and Bradford.
Yeah, Mike McCoy's carrying the water for Wilkes, and Wilkes came from the Panthers, who are that kind of just we play defense and safe offense, and like. You don't have the defense to do that yet. You got to open up the offense a little bit if you want to win a game.
Yeah, I agree. So we got Seattle at Arizona. Seattle is favored by 3 points. Who you got?
I got Seattle all day here. I think they beat up the Cubs.
Yeah, it's an easy one for us. So moving on to the next one, we got New Orleans at the Giants. Oh, my gosh, this New Orleans offense. It's Drew Brees, number one quarterback. Mm-hmm. Michael Thomas, number one wide receiver. Alvin Kamara, number one running back. I mean, there's no question about it. You're firing all of them up. You're paying up in DFS. I don't care how much they keep increasing Kamara's, price. They can't go much higher. But he's consistent. 15 catches last week. I mean, what running back is going to get you 15 catches and, 15 carries? It's just not going to happen. So you're firing those guys up. I don't think there's any, pushback from you on that one. Is this the last week that you can pay up for Kamara with Mark Ingram coming back next week?
No, I think it's actually a good thing when Ingram comes back. Kamara's showing a couple signs of the wear of having to be like the only trusted running back. I think they're both going to be pretty efficient if the defense can figure anything out. I don't want to pour water on this game, but I don't think it's going to hit the 50.5 points. Being that it's in New York, like the Saints have played every game in a dome so far, and they're not garbage on the road. Like people think Brees can't play on the road. It's not that he's not good. It's just that he's not the Drew Brees at home that you're used to. You know, he's going to put up like 16 or 17 points with like 2 touchdowns, which is fine for a quarterback. Mm-hmm. I just don't think people are expecting, fireworks here, and it's possible because the Giants aren't a great team. But they kind of like, They want to muddy the water. They want to slow the game down, play ball control, that kind of thing. So,
yeah, I think I agree with you. I would probably take the under if I had a lot of money riding on it. I would just stay away from it, honestly. Now, the second wide receiver position on this offense, are you going with Cam Meredith? Are you going with Ted Ginn? Is there anybody else that you're interested in, or is it just those top 3 and that's it?
Ah, man, Ted Ginn was pretty bad on the road last season. You know, he's more of a deep threat in their games in the dome. Meredith scored a touchdown, but it was on one catch. You got Tre'Quan Smith lurking, Austin Carr getting snaps. I'd actually prefer Ben Watson than any of the 7 receivers because the Giants are typically pretty terrible against tight ends. They like giving up touchdowns to tight ends.
Yeah, I could see that. I think that's more of a the chalk play than going to the second wide receiver. So New York, Odell Beckham, mm-hmm. come on.
Yeah.
Show up, man.
But he's actually been pretty decent points-wise. He just hasn't scored a touchdown.
Yeah, he's been decent, but it's not, you know, everyone was thinking this is going to be the bounce-back year. It's not someone that you're selling on because you're not going to get face value, but you want to see this game. You want to see a breakout game. And I know he's going up against Lattimore this week, but we just saw.
I'm not worried about
that. I mean, you're not worried about it, but Michael Thomas kind of took Julio Jones took kind of a backseat to Calvin Ridley last week against New Orleans. So this might be a Sterling Shepard game in like a DFS type way.
I like Shepard.
Yeah, I don't see how you couldn't, because you know Calvin Ridley, 3 touchdowns last week, tore them up. But with Lattimore on Beckham, I'm hoping he can push through it and possibly give you a touchdown, possibly give you 10 catches, give you something that shows that he was worth that first round pick, because right now he's been a little frustrating.
Yeah, there's nobody that can cover Odell Beckham in the NFL.
Okay, yeah, that's great analysis there. Justin couldn't have said it better any better. Saquon Barkley, kind of like Alvin Kamara. I mean, you got a dink and dunk guy in Eli Manning. You got 10-plus catches, and you've seen what he does on the running game. So he's a guy that you're wanting to fire up every week. Even if New Orleans breaks this game open, Barkley's not going to lose time. So you're firing up Barkley. You're firing up Odell Beckham. I'm not sure if Evan Ingram is going to play.
No, he's out 2 to 4.
Is he? Okay.
So that's why I like Shepard so much, because you're going to get probably P.J. Williams in the slot, mm-hmm. Which is, you know, you want to pick on Williams and Crawley against the Saints.
It might be a shootout, but I don't know if it gets to that 50-point margin. I'm kind of there with you.
I think it's going
to
be like a 27-20 kind of a
thing. Yeah, I could see that. So New Orleans at New York, the New York Giants, and New Orleans are 3.5-point favorites, which is kind of a small line if you think about it. Mm-hmm. So who do you got in this game?
I'm taking the Giants in the points.
Wow. Okay, that's bold. I don't think I can do it, but I can see why you would. I think I'm still going to stick with my guns and go to New Orleans. So, all right. So the Jimmy G-less San Francisco 49ers go to the LA Chargers. What are you doing in this offense? Is it just George Kittle and Matt Breida for you?
You know, with Breida getting the knee injury last week, I don't know that you can quite trust him. Given that he was already in a timeshare with Alfred Morris, neither of those guys are great pass catchers, Morris or Breida. Like, if there were a good pass catching back, I think that would be the guy, because Beathard was a check down machine last season when he was the starter.
Yeah, I think he's still going to check it down to whichever one is out there, though. He doesn't care if they can't catch. He's still going to check it down to them.
Yeah. And I mean, they can catch. They're just not special pass catchers. And then, you know, Kittle, if he becomes that kind of a tight end, but he's more of a downfield tight end given his skill set of being, you know, big and strong and fast. You know, Garcon could be the biggest beneficiary because he runs those kind of safe routes and he knows how to sit down in a defense.
Yeah, see, I think you probably picked up George Kittle and dropped your starter after week one, so you're probably going to have to ride with him. I think you still got to ride with Breida just to see how this offense looks, but I've actually dropped Goodwin because I am very nervous about this offense moving forward. I dropped him in a couple leagues. So I'm not very optimistic about the pass catchers, especially the wide receivers in this offense now. But I think you still got to fire up Kittle. You still got to fire up Breida. And then I think this week is going to be a telltale sign for the rest of the season for the 49ers, though.
Yeah, it's not looking good. They're hurting on the defensive side, too.
Yeah. So speaking of defense, LA Chargers are going to go up against that terrible defense. Keenan Allen's been held out of practice the first two days of this week. Hopefully he can get out there. I just traded for him in one of my main leagues, so hopefully he can get out there and still perform. But Mike Williams is really coming on in the wide receivers.
Yeah, and you know he can fill that role out of the slot too.
Yeah, so I think this offense, you're firing up Rivers, you're firing up Gordon, you're firing up both the Williamses. If Allen's out, if Allen's in there, then it's just Mike Williams and it's Keenan Allen. I think this is a pretty chalky game for the Chargers, and they should. Oh, and Austin Eckler. I mean, he's getting the playing time. It's crazy to think if I would have said coming into the season that Eckler is going to be playing as much as he has, then I probably would have stayed away from Gordon. But they're both getting so much playing time. They're both being so involved in that offense that they're both startable.
Yeah, I think Gordon's the safest running back there is this week.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about that. So fire up your Chargers, and it's going to be San Francisco at the Chargers, and the Chargers are 10.5-point favorites.
Like, this is such a spot where the Chargers just crap the bed and, like, have to win with a last-second field goal because they're the Chargers, right. But I don't see how you can expect this 49ers team to score points.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. I think I'm going to take the Chargers in the points, so I think they'll cover. All right, so another bloodbath coming on Sunday night next week. We got Baltimore at Pittsburgh. This is a notorious game for defense, for low scores. Do you expect it to be the same thing this week?
No, and Vegas doesn't either. They put the over-under at 51.
Wow.
Both of these teams are playing really fast. A lot of plays. The Steelers kind of out of necessity. The Ravens a little bit out of necessity, but somewhat by design. So I don't think this is your typical AFC North, like you said, bloodbath.
So on Baltimore's side, the running back situation. Alex Collins, he's frustrating to own. But if you were able to pick up Buck Allen, I think you have to start him now, don't you?
If you're hurting for a flex or you're really thin at running back, they've shown that they're going to give Allen about half the goal line work and passing work mixed in. So he's a fine option. He's kind of figured out his knack in the NFL.
Yeah, I think Allen is probably the guy I want to own in this backfield, and that's surprising to say because I think Collins is probably the better guy, but the Ravens just love Buck Allen, and so you have to take that into account whenever you're owning these players. And so I picked up Allen where he was dropped in a few leagues this week. I'm firing him up as my RB2 in most of my leagues, and that could come back to bite me, but just the fact that he's been on the field for so much this the beginning of this season, I think that should be guaranteed playing time and guaranteed touches. So
you want to do a Collins
out? Oh, yeah. Let's do it. That's an easy one for me. So I think Justin would be on your side on that one as well. So he probably won't back out of too many of these, but he'll find a way. He'll find a way if he loses to back out of some of them. The wide receivers in Baltimore, do you have any faith of starting any of them week in and week out?
I like John Brown a lot. He's shown a pretty good rapport with Flacco. He's getting targets. His speed looks, very like right where he left off prior to the sickle cell issues. The Steelers have given up a lot of deep touchdowns.
Yeah, see, I just can't trust any of the Ravens receivers because as soon as you start John Brown, then Willie Snead or Michael Crabtree is going to go off. And it's not like Crabtree in Oakland where he was always involved. He was the touchdown guy. He was the possession guy. Like, they're just spreading it around. And I think Hayden Hurst might be close to getting back. I think I saw he may have done a limited practice this week. So if Hayden Hurst comes in there, that just muddies the waters even more. I want to stay away from the pass offense in Baltimore and just kind of focus on the running backs. So I was listening to SiriusXM today about the Pittsburgh Steelers, and it kind of caught me off guard where the guys were saying that Big Ben likes to get everybody involved, but there's just not enough to go around for James Conner, which was kind of interesting to me because there was always enough to go around for Le'Veon Bell, and Le'Veon Bell isn't there, so why isn't there enough to go around for James Conner? I mean, everyone knows Juju and AB are going to get theirs, but I don't see why James Conner can't be involved in that as well.
Here's the thing with that. Le'Veon was never a big touchdown scorer. He was a volume play. And while Conner has soaked up most of that volume, I think a good amount has gone to Juju. Juju's got 100 yards receiving in every game this year. It's not that like Conner is getting left out of that usual mix. It's just it's not the – like, Le'Veon's usage was insane. I mean, he was getting – I think he had 400 total touches last year. Like, that's bonkers in this day and age.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm still firing up you know, AB, of course, Juju until he starts to fall off, which might not happen this year. I mean, he might have just taken that next step. And like you said, he could provide 100 yards or close to it every week. And then James Conner, I think you got to fire up those three. I'm leery about Ben this week. I could see this being a bloodbath just because it's against the Ravens. But I could also see him throw for 5 touchdowns. I mean, we saw it last week. He can turn it on. He threw 3 interceptions in 1 game, and other than that, he's looked decent. So,
yeah, Brandon Carr, Antonio Brown is going to be a really interesting matchup. Carr's been shadowing for the Ravens and doing a pretty good job.
Wow.
Yeah, obviously, AB is not what he's faced to date, but I think Juju's got another game where he outproduces AB.
Well, there's a lot of people like myself that are waiting for that big AB game. And I actually did an auction this year where I have AB and OBJ. So came into the season looking really good, and now I'm 0-3. Yeah. So hopefully they both turn it around. But we got Baltimore at Pittsburgh this week, and Pittsburgh is favored by 3. Who you got in this game?
I'm going Ravens with the points, but I think Pittsburgh is the outright winner. The Ravens haven't won there in a bit. But they're usually pretty close affairs, go to overtime or take a field goal to win it.
Yeah, I think the Steelers are going to win it by 3, so it's going to be right there on the line for Vegas. So last game to cover, Monday Night Football. We have the Kansas City Chiefs at the Denver Broncos. Let's start with the least fantasy-relevant team, and that's going to be the Broncos. So we have Philip Lindsay, who got ejected last week. We got Royce Freeman, who kind of took a little bit of the carries from him whenever he got kicked out of the game. Do you feel confident throwing Lindsay back out there this week? Are you leaning towards Freeman? What are you doing in the backfield?
Not that confident in either. It's really tough to say because they've got a third guy mixed in with Devontae Booker. It's obviously this game trends to be a little bit of a shootout, so Lindsay should benefit from that. But like the Chiefs have a really bad defense all around, so Royce Freeman could, benefit in the sense that they want to run between the tackles and kind of take the ball out of the Chiefs' hands. So it's a tough call.
Yeah, it really is because Kansas City's defense is pretty atrocious. There's really nobody on that defense that can stop anybody, and no matter how much they score, they have to keep scoring because their defense can stop anybody, and that's what we've seen the first 3 weeks. So I think you're firing up Sanders, you're firing up Thomas. Unfortunately, Jake Butt just tore his ACL in practice today. Very upsetting because he was a sleeper for both of us, Mike. I think we talked about it in the preseason. Yep. So that's upsetting. But I think I'm still going to fire up Lindsay because he's going to be the pass catcher whenever they get down. Case Keenum, fine quarterback too, but nothing too sexy. So let's go to the interesting side. Let's go to the fighting Mahomes. What do you got for this game for the fighting Mahomes?
I don't love this spot for them going into Denver. Denver's got a nice home field advantage, Mile High Stadium and all that, the altitude. It's going to be tough to play there for his, your first time. It's his first really big spotlight game, being the Monday night game.
Yeah, he did play there that last year, though. Week 17, I believe they played at Denver.
Yeah, Denver was kind of like a sunk
ship. Yeah, it was, but he has the experience at least,
Right, yeah, making a start there. But it's, it feels like a letdown spot, given that he's set the entire world on fire. And I've got so many Patrick Mahomes shares, best ball season long everywhere. So I would be thrilled if he did well. I just think this is the first time we actually see that he's more human than Superman.
Yeah, it's going to come sooner or later. This could be a good spot for that. Like you said, just the altitude, the defense, and the spotlight. This could be the week for that. But I'm still firing up Hill. I'm firing up Kelsey, Hunt, Mahomes. I'm firing them all up. Sammy Watkins has actually been, kind of involved, so that's surprising.
Yeah, a lot of
Sammy Watkins.
Yeah, I just kind of bought into him as the preseason wore on, given that he's more of a true wide receiver, and Andy Reid likes that kind of thing. Not that I would take it away from Tyreek Hill, but I thought they could coexist, and they have, given how many points have been scored.
Yeah, that's true. So Just a quick Thursday night update. Right now, the score is 38-28 for the Rams over the Vikings, and I believe Jared Goff has all five touchdowns. He threw all five touchdown passes. Kirk Cousins just threw one to Adam Thielen, and so.
Nice. I used Goff in my captain spot.
Nice! Showdown, that's a great call. Yeah, he's probably a surefire quarterback one the rest of the year. I mean, if you're in McVay's offense and they have those receivers. They got Gurley. I got to look at Gurley's stats. I got to see if I'm going to lose him this week to you. Oh, I better not. He just keeps throwing it all over the place. I'll look at that after.
You got a touchdown. Plus, I think you have Thielen as well.
Oh, yeah, I do have Thielen. That's right. Okay. Well, let's pick this game real quick. We got Kansas City at Denver. Kansas City is favored by 4.5.
I'm going to take Denver with points at home. Casey's defense just gives up too much.
I can't do it. Can't do it. I'm going to go with the Chiefs. So that wraps it up. That wraps up our week four preview for Friends of Fantasy Benefits. Mike, where can everyone reach you on Twitter?
You can get me at @roto_Juan, WAN.
Yeah, he goes on a lot of rants. So if you don't want to listen or read the rants, definitely don't do that. But you can follow me at CWeatherWax13. I'm not as active as Mike, but I throw a few rants out there and tell you that I tried to fix my dryer tonight. It did not go very well. Yeah. So let's just put it that way. I got to order something else from Amazon. Got to fire up the YouTube video again. So
at least we live in a day and age that you can fix your own appliances instead of paying $300 for a
service. Well, yeah, I was thinking, you know, I got to go buy a new dryer or whatever. And then I was like, well, let me figure out and see what's wrong with it. Because the electrical is fine, but the tumbler wasn't turning. So I was like, all right, let me see if I can figure this out. And, of course, I get the wrong part. Yeah. So it is what it is. But, all right, so for us here at Friends of Fantasy Benefits, have a great week for everyone.